Another day, another pastor in the headlines, right? It's almost like clockwork.
It really is.
Makes you wonder, how does someone who preaches morality end up in such a mess?
Well, it's a question a lot of folks are asking.
We're diving into that today with this article by Voyle Glover.
Moral failures amongst famous Christian pastors, Steve Lawson and Tony Evans. Why are they falling? Catchy title.
Gets right to the point. And he's looking at some big names. Lawson, Morris, Evans.
Yeah, those definitely caught my eye too. But you know what I found interesting? Glover uses Jack Schaap as his main example. You know the pastor who?
Oh, right, the one with.
Yeah. And the thing is, Glover actually knew Schaap personally.
Oh, wow, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's a seasoned attorney and he knew Schaap, knew the whole story firsthand. Adds a different dimension to it, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's not just some abstract analysis for him.
Exactly.
So how does Glover explain it? What leads to this kind of downfall, especially for someone who's supposed to be, you know...
a moral leader.
Yeah.
Well, he says it's not usually a sudden thing. It's not like they just wake up one day and...
snap.
Right. He talks about these five elements that are often in play to some degree.
Like what?
Pride, power, mindset, even physical and spiritual condition.
Okay, that makes sense. Those could definitely contribute.
But here's the key. Glover believes it all comes down to spiritual condition. Or rather, the lack of it. That's the root, he says.
Interesting. So even if someone seems religious on the surface...
it might not be the whole picture. He uses this analogy of a door.
A door.
Yeah, he says, you don't just wake up and decide to, say, have an affair. It's more like a door that slowly creaks open over time.
So it's a process.
Exactly. Little choices, compromises, maybe you start justifying things to yourself.
And before you know it, you're on the other side of that door.
And you might not even realize how you got there. And that's where those other elements come in. Pride, power, that shifting mindset.
They make it easier to open the door.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Like turning a key in the lock, bit by bit. Pride can make you blind to your own weaknesses.
Power can make you feel untouchable.
And when your mindset starts to shift, well... suddenly the unthinkable doesn't seem so unthinkable anymore.
It's a recipe for disaster.
You could say that again. And what's fascinating is how Glover ties this back to Schaap specifically. He draws these parallels between Schaap and his father-in-law, who also had a scandal, and he points to the culture of their church.
So it's not just about individual failings.
Right. Glover argues that the environment plays a huge role. He says that in some churches, especially ones with powerful leaders,
they're put on a pedestal.
Exactly. And they're not held accountable.
Which just feeds into that sense of invincibility.
It's like greasing the hinges on that door.
Yeah. You
know, makes it that much easier to swing open.
And that's a scary thought.
It is. Because it means this isn't just about one bad apple.
It's about the whole orchard. And what happens when the conditions are ripe for those apples to rot?
That's what we need to figure out.
And that's where this idea of spiritual condition becomes so important.
It really makes you think, you know, what does it even mean to be in a good spiritual condition?
Right. Like, how do you measure that?
Exactly. It's not like checking your oil or something. And Glover brings up a really interesting point about that. He says it's not just about outward appearances.
Because someone can look the part, sound the part.
But inside, it's a different story.
Which is kind of what's so unsettling about these cases, right?
Yeah. And Glover actually shares a personal story in the article. About a time when he was faced with a moral dilemma.
Oh, wow. I don't remember that part.
Yeah, he was in law school, totally burned out, and there was this situation. He doesn't go into detail.
Right.
But he says he was this close to making a bad choice.
Really? That's surprising coming from him.
It is, right. And I think that's what makes it so powerful. Because he's not preaching from some high horse.
He's been there.
He gets it. And he says that in that moment, he had to make a choice.
So what happened? What did he do?
He says he'd made a decision years before, kind of a line in the sand for himself. Certain things he just wouldn't do, no matter what.
He had those boundaries set.
Yeah. And he says that's what saved him. Because in that moment, tired, stressed, it would have been easy to justify it.
To talk himself into it?
Exactly. He even quotes himself from back then. He says, I refuse to open that door. I'd already made the decision never to open that door, and it was an irrevocable decision. Strong words.
Wow. Talk about standing your ground. Makes you think about those pastors, though. Did they have those lines?
That's the question, isn't it? And if they did, were they strong enough? Glover seems to think that in Shop's case, it wasn't just about him as an individual.
You're the whole environment.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah.
He says the kind of faith that might have helped Shep's set those boundaries just wasn't emphasized in his church.
Interesting. So it's like, what kind of soil are you planting those seeds in?
That's a great way to put it. And he talks about this difference between being outwardly religious.
Putting on a show.
Right. Versus what he calls walking in the spirit, which is deeper, more internal.
More authentic, maybe.
Yeah. And Glover seems to suggest that's what was missing for Shap.
Yeah, it makes you think of that saying, building your house on sand.
Oh, absolutely. When the storms hit, and they will hit, that foundation's not going to hold. And Glover talks about this whole hero worship thing, especially in certain churches.
Where the pastor's up on a pedestal.
Exactly. Like they're superhuman or something.
And then there's all this pressure to keep up that image.
Even if it means hiding who they really are.
Which is impossible, by the way. Nobody's perfect.
Exactly. And that's why accountability is so important.
Having people around you who can say, hey, you might be getting a little off track there.
Right. People who can challenge you, but in a loving way. Remind you that you're human, you're going to mess up.
He actually quotes Paul's letter to the Colossians. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him.
Ah, yes. So it's not enough to just, like, check a box.
Right. It's not a one and done deal.
It's about constantly trying to align your life, your actions with your faith.
Which takes work.
It does. It's a process and it's ongoing.
And sometimes you need help. You need people to walk alongside you.
Absolutely. We can't do this alone.
And you know, it's interesting because Glover seems to be saying that real strength, it comes from recognizing your weakness.
That's such a powerful point. Humility over pride.
Admitting that you don't have all the answers.
And that you need help. You need grace.
It makes you realize this isn't just a pastor problem, is it?
Not at all. It's a human problem. We all crave power, affirmation.
We all want to be liked, respected.
And it's easy to let that go to our heads.
Especially if no one's calling us out.
Exactly. Accountability is key. Whether you're a pastor, a politician, a CEO, even just in your own family, your own life.
It's a reminder that we need to be humble. We need to be accountable to each other. And we need to be really careful about who we put on pedestals. Because at the end of the day, we're all just human. What do you think? Does this resonate with you? Have you seen these same patterns play out? Let us know. We would love to hear your thoughts.